the rest of the story. Of all of the pious Puritans in pious old Norwich, Connecticut, the most respected and the most revered was Hannah Waterman. The Holy Scriptures were her second language. The front pew in the town's Congregational Church was her second home, and she spoke to God more often than others spoke to one another. Yet the great mystery of her piety, as far as her neighbors and fellow Congregationalists were concerned, was why a woman of such virtue should be stricken with such persistent misfortune. Was she supernaturally tested? For if that were so, then surely quiet, uncomplaining Hannah Waterman had passed the test long ago. The only certainty in the minds of those who knew her was that she did not deserve the relentless unhappiness in her life. For this is the rest of the story. To begin with, Hannah Waterman was unlucky in love. Although a true Puritan would probably not have phrased it thus, her first husband, Absalom King, owned a fleet of merchant ships, but he died at sea when Hannah was still a young woman, much too young, skillfully to manage the ships and the shipyard and the wharf and the warehouse that she had inherited. So, a year later, Hannah married somebody to manage those for her. Folks in Norwich called her second husband the captain. In fact, he was at the helm of the vessel on which Hannah's first husband had died. But anyway, it was the captain who had delivered the sad news to Hannah personally. And she was pretty, blonde, round-eyed, and rich. And he, unknown to Hannah at first, was an alcoholic destined to drink up and otherwise destroy his wife's entire fortune. And yet, despite Hannah Waterman's ample share of marital misery, there was a recurring tragedy in her life that diminished all else to virtual insignificance. Her children kept dying. Her first child with shipowner Absalom King died in infancy, as did her second child with him. Then for 5 years, with her second husband, the captain, Hannah tried to get pregnant, only to have her firstborn die at the age of 8 months. Now that's three deceased children in a row. And the heartbreak was to continue. For six more of Hannah's children would die consecutively. One of them lived 4 years. A daughter, Mary, even reached age 8, but still they died. In fact, of the 11 children to which Hannah gave birth in her lifetime, all but two died very young, and only one son made it to adulthood. That son's name was Ben, and in him, all of grief-worn Hannah's hopes were cast, for surely it was only to fulfill a destiny of greatness that Ben had been spared. Hannah was convinced of that, and so perhaps he believed it as well. For once upon a colonial era fraught with yellow fever and other than nameless childhood nemeses, there was a woman whose motherhood was engulfed in despair. And yet amid the seemingly endless trials and tragedies of hard luck Hannah came a little triumph named Ben, the promise of a brighter tomorrow that Hannah herself would never live to see, and yet also the living, breathing proof that sometimes it's best to leave bad enough alone. For Hannah's sole surviving son became the most notorious traitor in United States history, Benedict Arnold. And now you know the rest of the story.